more I feel like I'm not moving things. Things aren't changing. Things aren't getting quote unquote unstuck. I wonder what's in it for me to look at this a different way. I wonder what would happen in this moment if I were to say, what I think is not the truth really is. Like, how far can I go with getting out of my, it's gotta be this way?
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. And we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour, Surviving to Thriving with Sharon Saylor. I'm Sharon Saylor, your host for tonight, and we have another brand new episode. I am so thrilled to be here and to have this guest on. She's been on the show before, and she's just always brought so much light and happiness and just joy. I just love her. Plus, she's such an expert in what she teaches that I'm just always blown away. She's always teaching me wonderful things about thriving regardless of what happens. So let me introduce you to her. Most of you probably already know her, but let me introduce you to Valerie Shepherd. And this is brand new. She is the number one multi-award winning international best-selling author. Her book has won multiple awards this year. We interviewed her last year about her book, and it is just racing through the awesome reviews and winning awards. So we're going to talk to her about what that's like, as well as she is a catastrophic stroke survivor, inspirational keynote speaker, university lecturer, and certified laughter yoga instructor. She is absolutely multifaceted and just an awesome person. Her passion is life mastery, which she teaches with her four-step Happy to Be Me process. And we'll learn more about that, and we'll get more into depth about her awesome bio, but I want to get her on. Welcome, Valerie. I'm so happy to see you.
Hi, Sharon. It's so awesome to be here. Thank you so much. I love being on your show, and our conversations are always stimulating and fun for me. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Now, I just have to give you a huge clap. You know, I find congratulations on all the awards. I love your book, and I know that other people do. But I have to say, what do you think is resonating with them? I can share what resonated with me, but what do you think is resonating with all these awesome awards you're getting?
I'm so grateful for the awards that the book has won this year, and it's won 4 in the self-help category, 2 golds, a silver, and a bronze, and in the spiritual category. And I'm really excited and proud of winning a runner-up medal in the African-American nonfiction category of the National Indie Excellence Award. So I'm feeling incredibly blessed. And there are a couple things that I got back in terms of reviews. I think people are stimulated by the energy of the book. So that comes across in it's a 4-color book, so it's not just a black and white, ink on paper, sort of nonfiction book. It's got color, it's got pictures, it's got quotes and images. I heard from reviewers that it was pretty straightforward and direct, and that people can, the wisdom that it shares is accessible. So I tried to write it in a storytelling, down to earth, and I'm really big on practical and actionable. Like, I really want to know for myself, what do I do today? Like, what do I do in the next 5 minutes? And I really put energy into delivering that through the book. And I think the last thing that we hear from the reviewers is having the book and the workbook together is very helpful. So people can just write right in there. And I've spoken with a lot of people who've purchased the book who have written all over it and go back and write in a different color. It unfolds in them as they continue to dance with the teachings. And that's why I made put Dancing Your Soul Lifestyle in the title, that it really is a sort of fluid movement, and little pockets of awareness, epiphanies happen the more you kind of dance in the energy and the wisdom.
Oh, that's true. And what I love about the book, amongst many, many things, is that you read it through and you get so much, but then you read it through again and you get to deeper and deeper levels each time you go through. So that's what I love, that it's not just one of those that you just read and put away, that each time you have this new epiphany, a new aha, oh, okay. Or I laugh at myself, it's like, I never saw that before, but there it is in black and white. It had to be there.
You know, and that's true. That's probably happening for us a lot of times. You may not notice it. But the point of that is, or what's really going on is, you're not the same person as you were when you read it the first time. So whatever you took in the first time is kind of moving around inside of you, and it's, you know, pinging off of little pockets of resistance and maybe opening them up, and it's dropping into the pool of openness and making that bigger and richer. And so you're constantly blossoming. And so when the book comes into that space of you that is already transforming, it has a different power, different energy, a different ability to kind of go in and root around in there and have a little fun with you.
Awesome. That's so true. That is so true. Now, some people might not know your story, but when you were describing what the book does, I was thinking back to your story, and you were saying, like, what can I do right now? And I know, share a little bit about what happened, and because that can-do attitude, I know, is a big part of what got you through to the point you are now.
Sure. The story of my catastrophic stroke. That's what you're talking about, the catastrophic hemorrhage.
Yes. I've always been so impressed how you went from this absolutely, in my mind, life-shattering thing that happened to you and came out just with this can-do attitude, regardless of where you were in the healing process, until today we're just blossoming before our eyes.
Oh, thank you. It has been a 3-year and counting journey. So the healing is not at 100% yet. And I still hold out like total commitment to the intention that my body heals to 100%. I'm not even sure what that is, to tell you the truth. Was it at 100% when the stroke happened? Probably not. So this would even be better than it was when the stroke happened. So that would be cool. But I'd like to at least get back all of my functioning on my right side, which is still in its process. And the stroke happened in June of 2015. I was facilitating a leadership workshop, and a blood vessel burst in my brain. I had no idea that that's what happened. Didn't know I was having a stroke, was having problems. I was totally conscious of something happening, but not connecting it to this word called stroke or any symptoms associated therewith. And they called 911, and there was a lot of stuff going on physiologically, still mentally, didn't connect it to stroke. And I woke up 3 days later in the intensive care unit at Hoag Hospital here in Newport Beach, California. And I could speak in terms of words would come out of my mouth, but they came out of my mouth in gibberish. So I had perfectly formed ideas in my head, but when they came through my mouth, they were gibberish. So that was a little shocking. And from there, I realized I couldn't move my right side, and I thought I was paralyzed. And that started a week in intensive care, 3.5 weeks in a residential rehab facility. And then, you know, ongoing rehab ever since in some way or another. And it's a miracle that I'm alive. Hemorrhagic strokes typically kill people. They're a very small percentage of all strokes. It's like 15 to 18% of all strokes, but 80% of them lead to severe debilitation and death. Wow. So I'm very blessed to still be here, still be here in what I consider a thriving capacity, you know, driving, walking. I even can dance a little bit. I shoot archery to try and rehab this side. I'm talking, I'm, I'm working, you know, I'm teaching. Haven't, you know, the book came out a year after the stroke. So, I mean, I'm just a demonstration of the possibility of blessing.
Just, oh my gosh. And, you know, I want to also say blessing, yes, but also the demonstration of the power of intention and the commitment to do those intentions. I've seen you set small intentions with, you know, and I don't diminish by the word small, but they were step by step is probably a better word. Step by step intentions with knowing where you ultimately want to get at this optimal place. But I've seen you do these, what I call these little step by step intentions. And every time, every time I see you next, it's always like, wow, awesome.
Yeah, you're so right. And when I started, like, step by step was, can I hold the pen? Can I get the food on the fork and into my mouth? Can I hold a glass without knocking it over? I mean, there are still those little incremental wins that it's those little teeny pieces that add up to the bigger puzzle, you know, that adds up to the whole vision of healing. And so to your point, Sharon, we do have to let go of getting all the way over there and really just concentrate on, okay, what am I being called into in this moment at this space and time? Is it one step or is it 100? And if I can just, in love and acceptance and allowing and receiving and gratitude and tolerance and patience, can I just be where I am and do just that piece in this place and let all the rest of it come in its own time, in their own time?
Yes. Oh my gosh. And that's what I've seen you do. And that to me was always just a visual demonstration of the power of intentions.
Well, awesome. You know, the other thing that's really helping me is this thing that I've spoken on this before, and I'm intending to speak on it again at a bigger way, which is this difference between stagnation, which is what it can often look like when you're on a 3-year journey for healing and it doesn't necessarily feel like it's all happened yet. And this other experience called gestation. And that in the act of gestation, things may look very much like stagnation, but that's not real. And depending on what you're gestating, you know, a big idea, like an idea that's maybe the size of an elephant, may take 24 months to gestate. That's the gestation period of a baby elephant. A mouse, on the other hand, is 2 weeks. So depending on the dynamic, and we're talking about healing the brain and reconnecting the brain, the nerves, the muscle structure of my physique, that's a big idea. And I don't even know all the ways to do it. So that may take a gestational period that's longer than I'm used to thinking of or experiencing or contributing to as a person doing healing of herself.
Now, I'm curious, I want to dive into something else that I see, though, that each time I talk to you, you're at this new level. Every time I talk to you, you're bringing me fantastic new ideas to expand my mind. I want to talk to you about this conscious raising idea and how that's played into your healing. Because every time I talk to you, you've just not only healed your body, which is obvious to us all that love and adore you, we're like, wow, there she goes again. Awesome. But every time I talk to you, there's a new conscious raising, and this idea of gestation versus stagnation is awesome. And for us that are going through the healing process, it's a helpful way to look at it so we don't feel down, and maybe even have a way to talk about it with others who are like, why aren't you well yet? Because in conventional medicine, the mindset is, you know, 10 days you'll be over it. Take 2 aspirin or an antibiotic and 10 days you'll be fine. So,
or you won't, in which case you just stay that way, right? So I feel like in our Western world, we kind of have a real, very cut and dried dual awareness of everything. You're either sick or you're not, right? You're either broken or you're fixed. And so I guess what I'm talking about is a less dual awareness, like what are the polar opposites of what I am and what I'm not, and just focusing in an awareness of what I am and what it is that I'm creating from where I am. And so that's part of it. I think that's the part that allows me to be not 100% of the time, 24/7, 365, but most of the time in a space of everything's great. It's all perfect exactly the way it is. And what I'm experiencing as me, being me, doing me in this moment is exactly right for the me that I'm being called to be, to do what I came here to do. And it's the inextricable link between the mission, vision, purpose of the higher self and the actual experiences of the self living here in this human realm, spiritual human realm, that have to come together. I think for people to feel at that space of, it's all right, even though I can't pay the bills right now. It's all right, even though I can't speak right now. It's all right, even though I've been given a diagnosis that gives me 3 months to live. Like, that piece has to come together in order for that elevated consciousness to give you an elevated view of what's in it for you, that you are where you are experiencing what you're experiencing.
Oh, wow. So much. So beautiful there. I can't wait for the transcript, Valerie. That's one of those beautiful things that you have to take word for word to take in. Absolutely. Can't wait for the transcript. As we're doing this conscious raising, sometimes we've banished the word survivor here. We're all thrivers here.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes. I'm curious.
I would say this though, Sharon. I wouldn't necessarily banish it, right? So to me, that's in the duality. It's either or. I would say, how is it both and? So it's more of surviving is the base of what I'm doing. And I'm committed to experiencing some that and more. So not that. You definitely want to survive. The question is, how can I take my level of surviving to a place where I can then say I am thriving? So I don't think I'd banish it. I would say I'm doing survival at the platinum level.
Survival at the platinum level. Okay.
That's where I try to think of it, because otherwise my little monkey mind gets caught up in the not, what I don't have versus what I have. And it just reinforces a space of living that I am committed to moving beyond.
Awesome. Thank you so much. See, that's why we love Valerie. She always has these great, deep insights into nuance and how it's those little things. Remember I told you about we'd see her making step-by-step intentions and step-by-step goals. It's these little things that really make all the difference, doesn't it?
To tell you the truth, the little things are the centerpiece of all the difference. If we are not willing to go really deeply into that little thing, little doesn't mean it's insignificant. It might be small, but it may hold the key to all those major transformations and transitions that you're about to make. So this nuanced difference between one and the other, if we're not willing to look at how we feel about that, how we interpret it, what are our values and belief systems around that nuanced little teeny thing, we might miss the opportunity to actually leapfrog. So you want to talk about stagnation versus gestation. We might be holding ourselves in a vibration, in an orbit around an idea, a way of being, a belief system, habits and practices that is actually elongating our gestational period. Because our life, like not everybody's, but my life is set up to call me someplace. And if I'm not willing to go there, then the life can't unfold the way it's meant to, according to me being ready to step into that unfolding.
Oh, wow. Here I am, my mouth gaping open if you're watching on video. So how can I prepare myself for this unfolding? I'm not sure that it's even the right question, but I'm intrigued by how do I know if I'm elongating? Are there signs that I could go, oh, wake up?
Yes, and I love that you just said the name of the first step in my four-step process, wake up. We have.
Yeah, I've read the book. I've read the book so much that it's in my head.
Yep. And the wake up step is the linchpin, right? We can't change what we're unwilling to look at. And I'm talking about change us. Like if I want my life to be different, I have to be a different liver of my life. I have to be a giver into my life, different giver into my life. So that means the linchpin in the way my life is unfolding is not them. It's not the person who gives me something, the person who blesses me, the person who loves me, the person who showers with me. It's not them. The linchpin in my life is me. And so when I can wake up and notice, wow, I've been thinking this way for a long time. And the more I think this way, the more I feel like I'm not moving things. Things aren't changing. Things aren't getting quote unquote unstuck. I wonder what's in it for me to look at this a different way. I wonder what would happen in this moment if I were to say, what I think is not the truth really is. Like, how far can I go with getting out of my, it's got to be this way? And how would that serve me in terms of changing my life? So waking up to who we're being and who we're not being is critical to seeing where there's a calling for movement. And I say a calling for movement because the way I would describe that is things start to bubble up. Like you'll start to see, wow, that's the third time someone's mentioned that city to me. Oh, what does that mean? If you're like, oh, I can't stand that city, would never go there. I don't know why people keep saying it. What do I know about that city? So at that moment, maybe you're supposed to wake up to this relationship that you have with the city. And there maybe is something in it for you to change your framing and ask a question differently. Wonder what's in it for me to reframe how I'm thinking about this city. Like that's enough of a wake up. Just come into conscious awareness that you are at a certain place relative to something else and ask, is where I am, what I'm doing, how I'm thinking, how I'm saying, how I'm interpreting, is that serving me? And if it's not, why am I still doing it?
Ah, that's the big question.
That's the big question. Why am I doing that which no longer serves me, that I am consciously aware of no longer serves me?
Wow. Let's ponder that while we take a quick commercial break, because that's ponderable, I'll tell you. We'll be right back.
Ponder.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PINKYCHENILLE.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and we're here with the awesome Valerie Shepherd. She is a number one multi-award-winning international best-selling author, catastrophic stroke survivor, inspirational keynote speaker, university lecturer, certified laughter yoga instructor. She's just multifaceted. This, my mouth has just been, you know, agape this whole time. It's just, oh, I just love following her, what she tells us, and this idea of gestation and stagnation, and then also waking up, being open to what I like to call forward momentum questions. They're questions that have you ponder, what would it take to move from this place that I'm at? And so I think of those about forward momentum. I suppose it could be lateral too, but I like to think of it as forward.
Yes, and also not only what would it take for me to move, but what's in it for me? Like, we are a beingness that's conditioned to look for what do I get from it. So that's fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. In fact, our lives are unfolding in order for us to get the richness that they're offering. So asking, like, what more is possible if I were to shift the way I'm receiving this moment? What more is possible if I were to change the way I'm thinking about or interpreting that behavior of somebody else? Like, what's in it for me to do this shift as a part of the forward momentum that you're talking about?
Oh, wow. Now, see, that to me, I have to be honest, that's a slight little trigger for me I'm going to have to explore, Valerie.
Yes.
Hearing that, sort of this childhood voice of, you know, share and don't be selfish and a few things like that came up. I find that fascinating. I'll have to explore where those little words are coming from.
That's beautiful. And I get that all the time. So it's not a big deal. And that's part of our conditioning as well, especially with my college students. I get, but we're not allowed to be selfish. And I kind of turn that on its ear. And here's where I go from all of this. If the way that we are giving the most to the world, whatever that is, if you are a baker at a bakery, if you are a checkout person at a grocery store, if you are a Picasso level artist, if you are a teacher at an elementary school, whatever that givingness is that you're giving into the universe, into the world as your gift, how much better would it be what you give were you to ensure that you are at the highest level of you? Like, how much more, how many more people could you touch? How rich would be the touching of them if you were to make sure that you are well fed, that you're getting enough sleep, that you are well played, meaning you got a lot of play in and you're in touch with your inner child, that you are well healed, meaning you spend enough energy to understand what's rolling around in my subconscious that is actually holding me back, that is actually not a part of me living my purpose, living my divine dharma on the planet. If you're not giving to yourself, then you, whatever you are giving as yourself, is suboptimal. I guarantee it. It's going to have the energy that is kind of cloudy, what I call sort of influenced by the emotional junk in your trunk. There's going to be that energy in what you do. So a little bit of, I call it healthy and responsible selfishness. So where people get really freaked out about this idea of selfishness is in the part of the definition that says, I'm so focused on me that I ignore everyone else. That's not what I'm talking about. And it's also in the place where I expect you to love me. Like, it's not about me loving myself. It's about me getting everyone else to love me, love me, love me. That's narcissism. I'm not talking about that either. I am talking about a healthy and responsible relationship with the self as the foundation of every other relationship you have, whether it's with work, whether it's with family, whether it's with clients, whether it's with colleagues. It's got to start with being in a space where you matter in your own life. You matter. To you.
I think that's beautiful. We're going to make that a big quote here. You matter. That to me is really big. And it reminds me of the podcast by Sarah Payton. We've had her on the show a couple of times before, like we have Valerie. So if you want to know more about this you matter that Valerie's talking about from another expert's way of doing it, check out Sarah Payton's latest podcast. She had some great self-discovery where she was actually doing a self-discovery with herself, which was so valuable. So check that out too. That's been a popular podcast.
And you know, Sharon, I have heard this many times from clients that going through, if they're going through an illness or a downturn in finances or a problem with a relationship, I won't say 100% of the time, but so often that it feels like that as they work with what's happening, and they take it to, what does this have to do with me? Every time they're like, oh my gosh, this is happening so that I could see what I'm doing to myself. This is showing me how much I betray myself. This is showing me how many times I don't listen when I hear don't go there and I still go, thinking I'm supposed to, I have to, if I'm going to be a giver or I'm going to be a selfless server, this is what I have to do. And I ignore my inner voice telling me that's not what I'm here for. And something happens to show me, look what you're doing. And if people are awake enough to interpret, like to see, oh, that's my life talking to me. It didn't happen. It's not beating me up. It's happening for me. It's actually showing me, wow, if I could clean up this little messy part over here, there's probably a breakthrough of brilliance, magnificence, light, love, divinity that wants to come in behind the clearing out of that thing that I consistently do that holds nothing for me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It brought to mind a little tip that I always think about is when I'm telling my closest friends, they're telling me something, and maybe it is a bit of a critique or some forward momentum feedback. And when I say something like, but Valerie, you just don't understand. Mm. Whenever that comes out of my mouth, or it doesn't rarely anymore, but when I first hear that, I'm like, even if I think that, I'm like, that's my cue that I have to quiet myself down, wake up to what's happening in the current time, because that's obviously a block. Someone is trying to hold up a mirror for me, and I'm drawing the shades when I use that word. Someone just doesn't understand.
Brava. Brava, Sharon. That can come up a lot. Whenever I hear myself really staunchly defending my position, that's my wake-up call to like, uh-oh, I'm so entrenched, and I'm saying it over and over. What is that showing me about me? And that's that question. Well, what would happen if I were to let go a little bit, let go of the steering wheel, let go of the protection device, let go of the need to know and be right, let go of the facade that lets everyone think I have it all together. Like, if I just let that all go, what's in it for me to be in this open posture? I'm not hanging on to anything, proving anything. It's okay to change your mind. It's okay to say in the moment, oh, hadn't thought about it that way. It's okay to say, wow, I think I might want to try that. It doesn't have to be exactly true. And one of the things that we talk about in this higher consciousness state is you can just say, thank you. Thank you necessarily mean I'm going to do it exactly the way you told me to. Everything you said for me is right. Everything you said about me is correct. It doesn't necessarily mean that. You can make it mean that, but that's not necessarily what it means. Thank you just means I acknowledge, understand what you're saying, and I appreciate you sharing.
Oh, absolutely. In a previous interview we had not too long ago, I don't know why it came out, but it just came out of from the idea of curiosity, not judgment. And I've been sort of using that as my mantra as things come up for me. Approach with curiosity. Approach with curiosity. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, and it's very beautiful. And I want to go to that word judgment, because I have people tell me all the time, students and clients, they have trouble with that. Like, aren't I supposed, why would I be given a brain if I'm not allowed to judge what's right or wrong for me, or if I should go in this direction or that direction? And I understand that. And so one of the words that has come up that feels more in the heart of what people are talking about is criticalness. Mm-hmm. So I love your, you know, I'm going to give up my criticalness and put on my cloak, my energy of curiosity. So I can still judge, discern. Judging is a part of the discerning mind. So I believe we need that. I think we're called into our higher self discernment. Our lower self, so we're back in the consciousness discussion, lower consciousness discernment and judgment comes out as criticalness, where we are finding fault with that thing, not just saying, doesn't feel right for me, judgment, discernment, but we have to put it down, denigrate it, get it out of here, make sure that we're saying that's wrong. And that's the difference between, I think, judgment, which I think of more as discerning nature, and criticalness, which is more of finding fault with.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Valerie is always so good at deciphering these things for me. Just love it. We need to take one more quick commercial break. We're running a little bit behind on our breaks, guys, so we'll speed this one up and be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free, non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's P-I-N-K-Y. chenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and we're here with Valerie Shepherd. We've already introduced her as an award-winning international best-selling author and things like that, but I wanted, as you've heard, she just has this passion for life mastery, and she teaches this awesome class called 4-Step Happy to Be Me Process. And it's the centerpiece of her partnership with the University of California, Irvine, for a much-loved and successful class called Living 101, Being Happy and Whole. So as you can tell, that's an awesome class, too. I wish I could just get down there and sit in on that one, too. Well, let's talk some more, Valerie, about living happy and whole. We're approaching life with curiosity and openness, discernment, and we are doing our best to stay woken up in the moment and setting intention. What are some other tips that you have for us that we can continue to keep moving forward through it?
Yes, absolutely. And I love the woke. Let's all be woke, shall we?
Yeah, woke up.
Woke person. So what does a woke person do? So one of the foundations of what I teach in the class Living 101, Being Happy and Whole, one of the foundations is this thing we mentioned a minute before, the relationship you have with yourself. So self-mastery is all about mastering you in your life so that you can master whatever things life brings your way. And so self-mastery would be, I need to know myself really well, understand what makes me tick. If somebody triggers something in me that brings up, I don't like that, then I need to know, where did that come from? So I know when, for myself, when someone says something, I'm like, okay, my little 5-year-old self got triggered with that word. And it's reminding me of something that happened way back when. And then I know how to bring myself back into the present moment. That's not what's happening now. That's just a distant memory. And so I get quiet with that. So self-mastery is number one. Number two, which I think contributes to this idea of self-mastery, is getting comfortable with silence. Like really calling ourselves into a deep awareness of, connection with, and desire for more silence. And to get out of being a human doing and become more of the human being, to integrated spiritual human being. And in the silence, there are multiple gifts. And cultivating the silence within, which means quieting the head, the chatter saying, what time is it? Where am I supposed to be? Did they get my message? Have they answered my email? Yada, 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 times 10,000 a day. And go into the space of the heart, which speaks less with the mental capacities of the mind and language, and gives feelings, intuition, guidance that ears are not necessary for, that we often miss when we're not cultivating the space of silence and peace within us. And then the third one that I love for the woke being is play. How important, like you saw me at the beginning, I have this here, you know, I make faces, like I get into laughter. Play is a divine aspect of the center of you as a spiritual being. We are not here. You were not created to work hard. I don't care what your conditioning is from whatever culture you are. That is not the centerpiece. We're here to love, to be love. And in the essence of love is this energy of imagination, play, laughter, fun, and some frivolity even. And so to the extent that we can do and be that, we are actually giving rise in us, giving rise to that higher self who can actually cut that gestation period down and move us forward, propel us forward light years in our lives in a very short period of time. So those are three of my key tips.
Oh my gosh. And I love play. You know, I love play. That is, I even like to talk when we're planning on doing something, just play with that. It just makes it easier. Sometimes it sounds hard, and I just throw in my mind, just play with it. And all of a sudden, it doesn't seem so daunting or difficult, which I find fascinating how little changes in words can change the whole shape of something, which I find fascinating.
How many times when you haven't been focused on getting something done, you're doing something else and boom, this like, oh my gosh, that's how I solved that problem. And you stop what you're doing, write it down. Like that is showing you that sometimes disengaging from the doingness and being less focused on getting the answer actually opens up something in you for this higher self to go, here it is, my beautiful, lovely. I have it for you. It's right here. No need to work hard.
And you know what I find fascinating? My favorite place is the shower. I know that sounds weird, but so often when I'm in the shower is when the headline will come or something else. I've been like, I just don't. And all of a sudden,
how do you feel in the shower?
Just silent. Sort of, really, I don't think about anything other than sort of going through.
How do you feel?
How do I feel? Great. I love showers.
There you go. See, when we are in this energy of the feeling nature of joy and freedom and peace, That is the true state of who we are. And so when we are sitting in that, whether it's you in the shower, for someone else, it might be walking along the beach. That's where I had to take my phone, which I hated to do, but walking along the beach, things would come in and I had to speak them into my phone. And so it can happen where we are doing that, which already sets us in our joy. It doesn't make me happy. It sets me in what is already a part of me, inside me. And then that clears out other stuff and boom, like flowers blossoming in a field, those ideas, those divine inspirations, that intuitive voice can come through.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. So I love this idea about carrying your phone. I always carry a piece of paper around and 3x5 cards. And my friends know, like, oh, there she goes again. Must have had an insight. So whatever works for you is a great way to have those moments of inspiration.
Yes. Inspiration, meaning, and the difference between that and motivation, it's coming from inside versus motivation is somebody outside you saying, go, atta girl, keep going. That's my physical therapist. But the inspiration is inside me.
Mm. And what are some other ways, though? Maybe we're feeling, you know, you'd understand with people with autoimmune have a long-term condition sometimes as we're going through the healing experience. You've shared some ideas about play and going deep inside to really find out what's important to you and things. Do you have any quick, I'll just call them tricks, that maybe that we just wake up one morning and we just want to snap right out of it because wake up and we're like, ugh. I've had moments like that. And then I go like, I wish I had a magic wand.
Okay. So hold on to your hats because I'm probably going to say something you're not expecting. So what I would say when you wake up in those moments is to sit in those moments, to honor yourself, to say, okay, I'm feeling really cruddy right now. Not sit in that cruddiness for 2 weeks, but if you need a couple moments to sit there and say, okay, something's wanting to be heard and felt. Understand that laws of the universe are happening 24/7, 365, whether you know it or not, understand it or not, like it or not. The universe doesn't care. It's going to do what the universe does. Just like gravity does gravity, it does itself. There's a thing called the law of resistance. Whatever you resist persists. So when you can get into the space of accepting, allowing, and receiving you are feeling bad. Love yourself as a person who is feeling bad right now. Love that about you. Wow, I can feel myself and it's not feeling great. Then go into it. What's this telling me? What's this wanting me to see? Did I not get enough sleep? Do I need to call and get some help? Is there something more in my healing that would happen from me coming into a loving relationship and accepting relationship with what I'm feeling and experiencing right now? You might have to quiet whatever story you tell yourself about feeling it. So if you've got a story attached to feeling bad is I'm losing, I'm letting the illness win, you might need to get rid of that story. So you need to understand if you're actually holding yourself in a vibration that you don't want to be in by the fact that you won't even allow yourself to feel that I feel crappy right now. And honoring that as a divine communication from you, to you, for you, by you.
Here I am, my mouth agape again, guys. I just love Valerie's insights and depth into things. Oh, my goodness.
It's not an easy one, Sharon, I will say. I mean, we're conditioned to buck up, to, like, move forward. And sometimes, Teresa de Grobois taught me this. She is the founder of the Evolutionary Business Council, and she used to race cars. And this sometimes you need to slow down in order to speed up. And I'm noticing that concept in a lot of things. And that is a part of this concept. So in order to have the beautiful unfolding of the day, I might need to slow down at the morning and honor where I am. And if I were to do that, maybe it's 15 minutes of just like, if I have to cry for heaven's sakes, that moves energy. It's just getting rid of some energy. The crying doesn't necessarily have a story associated with it. I just felt like crying. Most people tell me when I finish crying, I feel such peace. Go there. allow yourself to cry, get to the peace. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
Oh, wow. I'm going to sit with that for just a minute.
Everybody take a deep breath. Just allow that to move in and out around you. Like, how, where have you been holding tension around it's not okay to show that you're sometimes not in a very right relationship with what's going on with you? That doesn't make you bad. Doesn't make you wrong. It just is what you're feeling, and that needs to be honored.
Fantastic.
Today was one of the first days on my journey. I'm still having fun cracking eggs into a pan. And today was one of the first days when I cracked the egg and the eggshell shattered, someone in the pan, a whole bunch of the egg yolk and egg went underneath the pan on the burner.
Oh.
Today was the first day in 3 years when I was able to laugh at it, when it didn't cause me this level of, it didn't trigger shame or sadness. It was just kind of like, oh, well, still not doing so well with that cracking eggs on the right hand. And then when I cleaned it up and I got a new egg, I just used a little spoon, boop, tapped it on the egg and kept moving. But this was the first time. So it's an ongoing journey, and we're all in it. And I'm, you know, you can be a master of something and keep practicing it yourself. You can still do both.
I think that I love that concept too, because oftentimes we hear people say, I'm so good at this or that, and yet, you know, they're over here, it's falling apart. I'm glad that you bring that up, that it's all okay. That's okay. That's the important part here.
The important part is that you deem it okay. I can tell you it's okay, but you've got to bless yourself. That's okay. I give that to myself.
Excellent point. We're just about out of time. With Valerie and I get together, I don't know where the time goes. It just flies into deliciousness. That's all I can say.
Yes.
We've got about 4 minutes, and I want to make sure, any final thoughts and tips, and then where can we get your book, and where can we find out more about you, my dear?
Oh, thank you so much for asking. So my final tip would be, everything that I'm talking about is an unfolding. In my book title, I say light style. And that was a word choice on purpose instead of lifestyle. So light style is, the more we let go of what is not serving us, the lighter we as a countenance, as a consciousness become. And raising one's consciousness, elevating your vantage point, is the only true way that I know to have lasting happiness, meaning no matter what's going on, an illness that lasts forever, losses, whatever is going on, that you can still have this joyfulness. So that's the parting thing. It's about raising your consciousness, and the book can help you do that. You can get the book, hard copy or Kindle version, at getbook.at/livingHTBM, like happy to be me. getbook.at/livingHTBM. And the only other thing I will do is extend an invitation to you. We don't even have the website up, but we've chosen the location for our 2019 Wholeness Palooza, which is a 3-day event to go deeper into experiencing these concepts for yourself, having transformational healings in the moment. We'll be doing healing sessions and things like that there, and laughing and playing. And even I heard there was going to be a Saturday night drumming circle with s'mores and a fire. So in the San Bernardino Mountains, and I'll share the website and everything, but I encourage you to start allowing that to be a yes in your heart.
Oh, I love that. A Wholeness Palooza with Valerie and her gang. It's going to be awesome. I just know it. Oh my gosh, that's great. I love the term too. That's awesome, Valerie. Thank you so much for being on the show. You always bring so much information and insight and things that we can immediately put into use, which we just so appreciate about you. And congratulations on the award, with all the awards you've won on the book. It is an awesome book. Be sure and go get it. I will have the URL that she put there at understandingautoimmune.com. So you didn't happen to write it down really quick, go ahead and do that. go over there to understandingautoimmune.com and you'll be able to see the link, as well as get the transcript, because as you heard tonight, there were so many what I call, you know, writable moments that I couldn't write them all. So that's why I'm looking forward to the transcript, because what I like about the transcript is we can go through and go, just sit with whatever was said for the moment. We don't have to, I love the podcast and the video cast, but the transcript allows me just to take that bit and sit with it for a moment. Because sometimes podcasts, video casts go by so fast that we're like, wow, this is all just delicious. But you want to be able to savor specific points too. So be sure and go over to understandingautoimmune.com and get your transcript as well. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and we're on Instagram now too. So join us wherever. Just share with our community and be sure and join the Courage Club as well. Everyone, have a great week. Whatever your adventures, join me here for another episode next Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time is when brand new episodes happen. You can always catch them in replay over at understandingautoimmune.com or visit our new YouTube channel. See them in video. I'm so excited we've got videos up now. You'll be able to see Valerie and her beautiful smile and her beautiful aura that happens when she's here with us. Oh, it's just awesome. Everyone, as I said, have a great weekend. And as always, enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com.